sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet, pulling out all of his hair. A shotgun Willie's got all of his family there. Well, you can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Football's Double Coverage Podcast. It's your absolute best place for fantasy advice, period. We are your hosts, Mac and Joaquin, and we'll be joined later by special guest correspondent, T. Baggins. We are both fantasy champions, and if you follow us all season two, you can walk away with the trophy. So let's get right into today's show. Today we'll examine the oh-so-important first-round picks. Me and Joaquin will then go over our top 12 picks for this year's draft. But before we get into all that, I think it's important that we take a second to talk about first-round strategy. For me, basically, in a 10-man league, I almost always will take a running back. And that's just because there's so few running backs in the league who are the number one guys on their team who get a bunch of carries and who can get you premium fantasy points. It's easier to get a quarterback or wide receiver later in the draft who can give you those big numbers. But a premier wide running back, they're very rare. But of course, you know, who you draft will always depend on what draft position you have and what players are still available when it's your turn to pick. So in past years, my eyes were always on a running back, but this year is a bit different. Not only because of the rise of the quarterback, but mostly due to the lack of reliable running backs who aren't in a timeshare. There's just not that many of them this year. Really just a handful of guys. So later in the first round is when it starts looking like a quarterback, like maybe Aaron Rodgers, or a wide receiver like Megatron, will look like a less risky option than many of the running backs left on the board. I was in three leagues last season, and my first picks were Adrian Peterson with the first pick, LeSean McCoy with the seventh pick, and Maurice Jones-Drew with the seventh pick, all running backs. I don't know what my draft positions will be this year, but if I'm top five, I'm definitely going to go running back again this season. If I end up 6 through 10 or 6 through 12 or whatever size league I'm in, then maybe I'll consider certain quarterbacks or only one wide receiver, Megatron. So that's sort of my philosophy on it. Get a running back if you can, because there's just not that many of them. There's a big drop-off between the first-tier guys and the second-tier guys, and you definitely got to get the first-tier guy if you're going to compete. But there's other analysts, like ESPN's Matthew Berry, if anybody of you guys out there read his manifesto. He has his first two picks off the board being quarterbacks. So Joaquin, you know, what do you think about Matthew Berry saying you should just take a quarterback early on because they're safer picks, and running backs, you know, you should just take a bunch of them later. Like, what's your first round philosophy on positions?
Well, pretty much I just gotta agree with you, which I don't like to do often, But you're completely right. I mean, it's a very shallow field this year for running backs, and you got to, most standard leagues, you got to get two of them. You know, I mean, there's more receivers
at least
you can get
two,
late,
yeah.
You know, and they drop off. You got to flex spots out there. You still got to get a good quarterback. I'm not saying you don't, but I think you're going to be okay as long as you get a top 8, even top 10 quarterback this year, cuz the rest of them, besides you know, people like Rodgers or Breeze, they're all going to be throwing more. Everybody's starting to realize that it's a passing game now. So I think we're going to see people like Matt Ryan and Jay Cutler, you know, step up, and then they're going to put up some big numbers, and you can get them late.
Yeah, like last year, I think I took Matthew Stafford with the last pick, and I think he attempted more passes than any quarterback in the league. And he obviously put up some big fantasy points as a result. So there's value. There was value last year, and like you were saying, there's value this year. Matt Ryan's really late. You know, Philip Rivers was dropped late. You know,
yeah.
Freeman may have a good bounce back here if he gets some rushing touchdowns. He's got some more receiving options.
Sure.
Even guys like Peyton Manning, if you looked where they're ranked right now, get him in the fifth or sixth round.
Oh, yeah. And you'll have wild cards like last year's Cam Newton. I mean, nobody will probably put up numbers like him that you'll be able to get that late. But there are people, Matt Flynn's out there. You know, you never know. People like that could really do something on the rookies, Luck or RG3.
Yeah, and Matthew Berry makes a good point. I mean, a big quarterback can help you consistently win games. But there's a whole bunch of quarterbacks who can do that, I think. There's more quarterbacks out there who can do big numbers like a 30-burger than there are running backs who can get you a 30-burger on a consistent basis. But, you know, like the quarterbacks discussion, we'll get into our top 10 lists and talk about how much value there is in a subsequent podcast. But in this one, we just want to kind of focus on first-round picks. So what we're going to do here is go over each of our first-round picks going up all the way up to 12, kind of discuss, you know, why we think they should be there, and so you guys can take some notes. So my first-round pick this year, I got lucky. I got the first-round pick. I think I have to go with Arian Foster. Even though they have Shaw back this year, I don't think that's necessarily too big of a negative for Arian Foster, just because he's such a good receiving back, you know. If he may not run the ball as much, but he's still going to get all those receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. So I don't think his number is going to be hurt. You know, if you look at his numbers last year, everybody knows who had him last year, at least, that he missed the first few games. But he still put up numbers almost as good as Ray Rice or LeSean McCoy or any of these guys who play the entire season. So when he's in, he puts up monster numbers consistently. And he's done that for a couple years straight. So a guy like that who you know is going to put up monster numbers, doesn't matter if Ben Tate's behind him or Schaub's in or not or whatever. This guy just produces. He's a safe pick. He had that little injury situation, but I think he's a pretty durable guy when he, you know. So I think he's a great and a safe first-round pick. With your first-round pick, I think you need to go safe, and you need to go running back. So that's kind of who I thought. Joaquin, what's your first-round pick?
I have Arian Foster, too. I mean, nice. I got to say, I think the top three, you can't really go wrong this year. He runs, he catches the ball aggressively. Even with Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub out there, I think it just helps Foster even more. Got to keep defenses honest. You know, they won't be expecting him on every single play.
Yeah, they can't just load the box against Arian Foster.
Right.
They got to give him some respect. So Arian Foster out there, you guys get lucky, get the first round pick. Go with Arian. Can't go wrong. But like you're saying, if you take any of these guys, these first three guys, at number one, I don't think you're making a mistake necessarily. But I just think Arian Foster's the strongest choice. Number two pick, I chose Ray Rice. If I had the second pick, I'd take him. He's just one of the best out there season after season now. In fact, last season, I think he was the absolute best at running back, that is. He had over 290 carries. He's only 25 years old, so he can still handle a big load and still excel. You don't have to worry about him breaking down at the end of the season. He's a young guy, but he's producing just at the highest level out there right now. And on top of that, he's an excellent receiving back. The guy catches the ball great and runs after the catch. Just a great option. Last year, the yards were there. But the big thing was he saw a spike in touchdowns. McGahee was gone. You know, he went to the Denver Broncos. So he didn't have that vulture necessarily behind him. And those extra touchdowns gave him those points. I think he had something like seven more than he's ever had before. So if he does that again, he'll put up fantasy monster numbers. But touchdowns are hard to predict, so you don't really know. But he's always going to get the yards. You know that. He's, again, a safe pick. Joaquin, what's your number two pick?
Ray Rice. I mean, the guy's a wow factor. PPR monster. Second in rushing last year behind Maurice Jones-Drew. Like you said, huge reception. 76 receptions for over 700 yards. You got to get him. I mean, another safe pick.
Yeah, and I mean, you just can't go wrong. Again, we both went running back. You know, guys like Matthew Berry and T. Baggins, who we'll talk to you later. They think we got to take a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's crazy. But we'll get into that again later. But let's get on to the number three picks here. I chose LeSean McCoy. I originally had him in the two spot, but you know, the biggest thing is he completely screwed me in a fantasy championship last year. I lost by 8 points. The guy averaged 17 or even more in a PPR league, and he had to get less than his average for me to win the championship. He comes out and he gives me like a four burger, something like that. 13 carries for 35 yards and no touchdowns. It was just awful. But before that, I mean, he was fantasy gold for me all year. I do have some concerns that they're going to have a little bit more of a balanced offense this year. You know, Vic's back. And I think he's going to have some more rushing touchdowns this year. And those will probably come at the expense of LeSean McCoy. I think Darren Jackson's back. He's going to have a much better year. DeSean Jackson, thank you. So they had a lot of problems at wide receiver last year with injuries and stuff. I just think that it's gonna be more balanced. It's not gonna be so heavily reliant on McCoy. And the coach has even said that they overused him last year. So that makes me think they'll probably use him less this year if they acknowledge that they overused him last year. But he's still one of the best backs in the league. You can't go wrong with him. The guy's durable. He's quick. He's elusive. He gets touchdowns. Even if it's the fourth quarter and he only has five fantasy points, he somehow manages to go like on a 98-yard drive and get like 14 fantasy points out of nowhere. He's just a great, great option. If you can snag him at three, I don't think you can go wrong. What'd you have at three?
I had LeSean McCoy. I had him last year. Drafted in both my leagues. I was really happy, except in the championship. I did see that Andy Reid had said that he overplayed him, which I was kind of hesitant about. But, you know, the guy, 17 rushing touchdowns last season, and Vic threw 3,300 yards. I mean, I can't even remember the last time Vic threw that much. And the guy still gets 17 rushing touchdowns. He's very impressive. 4.8 yards a carry. Like you said, very elusive, great acceleration. He's a winner. I think he just shows how good Foster and Ray Rice have to be, though. LeSean McCoy is number three here.
Yeah. And 17 touchdowns, like you're saying, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you want out of a guy you draft in the top, one of the top three picks.
Definitely.
But my number four guy is sort of not like that. He doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. Maurice Jones-Drew. But, you know, he's the definition of a workhorse. You know, the Jaguars, everybody knows, they couldn't pass last year. Every team focused on MJD, but what happened? The guy still produces, no matter what. The only problem was he just didn't score a lot. But you know what? The Jaguars didn't score a lot. I don't think he had a lot of opportunities. And on top of that, the guy's got a fantasy, you know, satellite XM or Sirius show. That means the guy cares about fantasy football, and he knows the importance of the playoffs. And if you look at his playoff production, it's always big. He shows up for the fantasy playoffs. He consistently gets you points every week. He's durable. You know, people always say they're worried about his knee because it got hurt 1 year, but he came back and he just, like you were saying, had more yards than anybody in the NFL. So I think he's durable. It doesn't matter if their offensive is good or not, their passing offense, because he still produces. He's a safe pick. He's been a safe pick for years, and he's a great pick at four.
That's unbelievable. Maurice Jones-Drew for me as well. I think after this we're going to have some discrepancies. But anyway, the guy, Maurice Jones-Drew, put 1,600 rushing yards, and everybody knew who the Jaguars were going to give the ball to every single play. And he still puts up something like that. A workhorse like no other. I mean, it's really a shame Jaguars couldn't help the guy out at all last year. Hopefully Blackman, can do something and get the ball maybe closer to the red zone and get MJD some touchdowns. But, safe pick. You got to go with him.
Yeah. And they got Laurent Robinson, too, who was a touchdown machine last year.
Yeah.
For the Cowboys.
Sure.
So hopefully, yeah, maybe they can move the chains a little bit better and maybe get him some red zone looks, some goal line looks. So at five, maybe a bit of a controversial pick, I'm not sure, Adrian Peterson. You know, he's hurt, but he's good. I read that he was sprinting full speed in April. Many of you guys probably saw him on ESPN jumping like 20 feet in the air onto a box. I'm not too worried about his knee at this point. I just heard that he got arrested for trying to drink some water, apparently. I don't think that's too serious of a crime, so I don't think that's going to hurt him. I don't think his injury is going to hurt him. Maybe at the beginning of the year, they'll rely on Toby Gerhardt a little bit more just because he finished so strong, and they want Adrian Peterson maybe be able to make it through the season without a re-injury. So maybe the first few games he either won't play or he'll get limited touches. But I think overall, great value. I mean, if this guy wasn't hurt, he still might be the first overall pick in the draft. And I don't think his knee's an issue, so I still think he's a top five guy all day. Joaquin?
Yeah, Adrian Peterson.
Great minds think alike, right?
Apparently. If you haven't watched any of those videos of him working out, I definitely suggest to do it because it is insane. The guy's playing. I mean, that's for sure. To see him in some of these mock drafts going the second round, I think is crazy. Don't expect Adrian Peterson to be there for you in the second round, because I don't think it's going to happen. If anyone can bounce back from tearing their ACL and MCL, it's all day.
Yeah, he busted up his knee good. And ESPN, it's ridiculous. They have him ranked at like 28.
Yeah.
There's just no way. Mm-mm. You know, in some leagues, I could see him maybe going in the early second round just if for some reason he doesn't play in the preseason, or he doesn't look good, or he gets into some more trouble legally, or, you know, there's some other things happen. But otherwise, he's going in the first round. It just depends where. I have him ranked at 5, and that's just because there's some question marks, and you may not be able to really use him your first few games. So that diminishes his value a little bit. But this is where we saw Arian Foster last year. You know, he had his knee issue. People knew he was going to miss a few games maybe at the beginning.
Right.
He got drafted around 5 or 6, and he had an awesome season, an amazing season, and he lasted the whole season. And I think it's the same thing with Adrian Peterson here. I mean, the guy is just – he's a beast, and you got to take him if he's still there at 5. And really the last of the premier running backs, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So you got to snag him. At 6 – I don't know if necessarily I would actually in real life take a wide receiver this early, but that's where I have him ranked anyways. Calvin Johnson. A.K.A. Megatron. Of course, you got to worry about the curse of Madden. He's on the cover this upcoming year, but, I mean, I'm not too worried about it. He may get injured, but if he's not on the field, I know this guy's going to produce. Guy can drop a 40-burger at the wide receiver position all day. I mean, that's a special thing. He's coming off a 1,700-yard, 16-touchdown season. I mean, those are elite running back numbers at wide receiver. That's extremely rare. So, you know, if he took a receiver, I mean a running back, excuse me, at this spot, and he had 1,700 rushing yards and 16 touchdowns, you know, you'd probably be pretty happy. And so, you know, there's no other wide receiver out there that can do that. He's the top of the crop. He can put up elite running back numbers at that position. So I don't think it's a mistake to take a wide receiver that early, although I've never taken a wide receiver that early. And apparently he's looking better. Nate Burleson said, you think a guy like that could not come back and get better, but he does. He's stronger and faster. You know, I think that says it all. I mean, he may even be better next year. I mean, 2,000 yards receiving, you never know. The sky's the limit. He's got Matthew Stafford throwing the ball. Guy's a baller. Guy's a straight baller. So, Joaquin, who do you have at 6? Let me guess. Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, you're right. You must have snuck a peek at my list or something. No, not many receivers can put up points like this guy can. What do you get? 40-something points, fantasy points, in one of the last games last year?
Yeah.
Insane.
40-burger.
40-burger. An absolute monster on the field. Consistently, this guy's unreal. 8 touchdowns through the first 4 games. 2011 was the best season yet. No signs of slowing down. I'm taking him over any quarterback.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, I'm taking – if there's a guy who's elite at his position, I'm taking him over a quarterback all day. Because I just think you can get a top 5 quarterback later in the draft, like we were saying. But we'll stop harping on that because my number 7 pick is actually a quarterback.
Hmm.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
We differed?
We finally differed, nice. Yeah. I had to throw Aaron Rodgers way far down there.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, everybody knows he's a baller. He had more fantasy points than anybody last year. He's consistent. You know, receivers don't make him. He makes the receivers. He threw the ball 502 times last year. But on top of that, he's a running threat, you know, not quite like Michael Vick or somebody like that. But the guy, he's got some legs. You know, it's not unreasonable to think maybe he can get you like 300 rushing yards and 5 or 6 rushing touchdowns. You know, the guy could do that on top of his amazing arm. I mean, he could throw 50 touchdowns this year and nobody would be that shocked. I don't like to take a quarterback that early, but like I said, the premier running backs that we know pretty much are going to be awesome no matter what, those guys are gone. And if you want to be really safe, I think the first round's about safety. You can go ahead and take the first quarterback, I think, starting at 7, which is why I have Aaron Rodgers. What do you got?
I got Ryan Matthews.
Bombshell.
Yeah, I know. I mean, looking it over, I had him on team last year. He definitely drafted low last year. I think he's gonna have a better year this year than he had last year, and he had a pretty good season last year. Only played 14 games and had to deal with Mike the Vulture Tolbert. Still the number 7 fantasy running back in most leagues. Healthy Ryan Matthews is going to be huge points for whoever's holding him. There's some questions about his health, but I think overall he's solid. It's going to put up some big numbers, I think.
Yeah, I like that especially since I have Ryan Matthews at 8. That's my next pick.
Typical.
Ryan Matthews, like you said, Tolbert's gone. He's gone to Carolina, the craziest place ever. They have They already had two awesome running backs. Then they have to get Tolbert, and then they have Cam Newton, like the best running back in the league, basically, as far as I'm concerned. But he's gone, so Ryan Matthews does not have to worry about that sick, fat bastard of a vulture, Tolbert, ever again. He's
Poor
gone.
Poor Tolbert.
He's gone. But, you know, one thing that's a little concerning, fact, Ryan Matthews has never caught a touchdown pass in the NFL. You know, the guy's got good hands.
He catches, though.
But, so. I mean, I don't know if that means that, you know, the QB's not looking for him when they get to the end zone or what. But he did have 50 receptions last year. That's good. You know, a guy like Jordy Nelson, who was a top five receiver, only had 68 receptions. So, you know, if he's playing all three downs this year and he gets just a few more receptions, maybe he can put up some really elite numbers. And, you know, his carries should go up this year, too. You know, a guy who is a three-down back. Guy who's a three-down back, you got to take him if he's still sitting there. Because he's got the best chance to get you the numbers. I mean, I say snag as many running backs as you can. That's the best philosophy. Because in most leagues, you have to start two of them, and then there's a third flex spot. You can start three running backs. I mean, I think you're ultimately going to get the most points. So that's one reason why I think you got to take a running back in the first round. And Ryan Matthews is a good choice. He could put up huge, huge, huge numbers. I mean, everybody knows North Turner likes to run things through his running back. Everybody saw the monster years LT had in San Diego. And Ryan Matthews, he's going to have the opportunity probably to put up those LT-type numbers. So taking him to the end of the first round, you know, that's earlier than a lot of people have him ranked. You know, a lot of people have him ranked maybe the early second round. But just there's so much potential there that I think, you know, taking him at 7 or 8 or – anywhere in the end of the first round is a good choice. So who you have at 8, Joaquin?
Darren McFadden. He gets injured, but are you really going to pass?
Injured?
Are you going to pass on a top 5 back when this guy's healthy? And who knows? I mean, everybody's really an injury concern when it gets down to it. Peyton Manning was one of the safest picks in any fantasy league, and then the guy gets out for a whole year. So it can happen. Injuries can happen to anybody. They happen more often to Darren McFadden, true. No Michael Bush this year. That's going to just be even better for him. You pass on Darren McFadden, you're going to take a quarterback. Some douchebag that you hate is going to end up with Darren McFadden in a great spot, and you're going to be pissed off all year about it. The drop-off in running backs after here, I think, gets really bad.
Wow. Guy hasn't even talked about Chris Johnson yet.
No.
And he says it gets really bad after
this. It does. Although Chris Johnson is on my list.
Wow. Really bad.
Yeah,
wow.
I don't know if you saw Chris Johnson play last.
He's just taking a break.
I didn't.
All right, we'll talk about him in a second. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, a couple more spots.
Drew Brees, I got at the 9 spot.
Another quarterback.
Guy threw the ball 657 times last year.
It was amazing.
For a record-breaking 5,400 yards. Basically 5,500 yards and 46 touchdowns. I mean, those are big fantasy numbers. The guy screwed me in two leagues as far as I'm concerned. Guy has no class. The guy, when he's breaking the record, they had already won the game. They should have sat him. They should have ran the clock out. Instead, the guy's got no class. He throws a touchdown. I lose a championship. If Drew Brees had any class or McCoy had any balls, I would have had another championship. But that's what happened. But still, even after all that, you take him at the 9 spot. I don't care what they say about the Saints, you know, having all these problems. I think it's just going to motivate them. I think Drew Brees is a leader. They don't have to worry about their coach as much. I think he can come out there and run and inspire the team. I think he puts up big numbers again. He may even break his own record next year. So, again, I don't like to take quarterbacks necessarily that early, but if you take him at 9 spot, you know, nobody could really argue with you, I don't think. So who do you have at 9?
That's where I finally broke the mold. I got Aaron Rodgers at 9. Yeah, I don't think I have to repeat any of the stats. Definitely the best quarterback out there. Best really fantasy player out there out of all. I mean, it's, you know, different because they're quarterbacks. But you got to go with Aaron Rodgers. If you're going to pick any quarterback, he's definitely the best one to get to.
Yeah, probably the best. But who knows?
Oh, and, you know, we're just going by what we got last year.
Yeah. The one thing that does concern me is, you know, the Packers, as everybody saw, they started sitting a lot of their players.
At the end of championship game. Yeah, that's horrible. Playoff games.
You know, if you had Greg Jennings or Aaron Rodgers, I think Aaron Rodgers did play in Week 17, but he sat Week 17. But he could have easily sat Week 16 as well. So that's always a bit of a concern, you know. And, of course, quarterbacks, you know, they're the most likely to be protected by the organization and be sat. So that's another thing you got to worry about with some of these elite guys at the quarterback position is them sitting. Depends what team they're on. Drew Brees, I know, has no class. He'll play it out if he's got any chance at any kind of record. All right, and number 10, CJ2K, Chris Johnson. Big bounce back year coming up. Big bounce back year taking up. Anybody stupid enough to take him last year, you know, they made a mistake. But if you take him this year, whew, probably going around about 4,000 yards. You know, but, you know, there is a possibility that he comes up and he's a complete bust again. So, you know, you can't rank him number one or number two like he was last year. But all the reports are this guy's hanging around the training facility. He's running hard. He's running fast. He looks amazing. Huge, huge upside, you know. And I think it's worth a gamble if he's still sitting there at 10. Especially, I mean, I think running backs get dirty. Well, I haven't said McFadden yet, but, you know, really, really quickly, they go bad. They go really bad, or they get really risky. So I think Chris Johnson in the 10 spot, go ahead and take that gamble. It's going to pay off for you. The guy is simply amazing when he's doing his thing. So that's what I think. Who do you have at 10?
You know who I have at 10? Matt Forte. He's not going to go this high, I don't think. This is where I would take him if he's there. There's going to be people in every league that label him as an injury risk, and they're going to pass on him. But like I said before, who isn't an injury risk nowadays? 13 starts last year for Forte. He put up double-digit fantasy points in 10 of them. A consistent guy to have on your team. He's going to be putting up points, especially for the Bears, running the ball over 50% of the time, or at least using him in the play. He's a huge PPR back, one of the top best receiving backs out there. Got over 23 times standard scoring. They gotta pay the guy. Top 10 in total yards in 3 of the last 4 years. He's good. He's great when he plays. They need to pay him. But if he doesn't get paid, the closer it gets to the season and the more this guy goes without practicing, he is going to fall off of my list because it is getting way too familiar to Chris Johnson's year from last.
Yeah, I really have to disagree with you on this whole Matt Forte situation.
I figured that.
I can't take this guy in the first round this year. First off, they keep just slapping him in the face over and over again. He wanted a contract extension last year. They said, go fuck yourself. He said, all right, you know what? That's fine. I have a year left or whatever. I'm going to go run my ass off. I'm gonna do the best I can, and then they're going to pay me. And so what did he do? He was their entire offense. The entire offense. And this guy, and they still didn't pay him. He ran and ran and ran until he got hurt. They ran him every single play until he got hurt. And,
yeah.
then what happened? They didn't pay him.
Instead
of paying him, they went out and got basically a guy who could start in his place, in Michael Bush,
yeah.
And a guy who's going to steal a lot of carries anyways. And then they said they're not going to pay him. They franchise tagged him, which means they're going to pay him for 1 year. But, you know, running backs, they know, you know, at any moment their career could be over with a completely blow their knee out or they get old too quickly. They have a few years to cash in. And he's being robbed of it, and he's going to be mad. And a mad player is not a good player, you know, as we saw with you know, Chris Johnson got paid, but it took him so long to pay him. I think he was still bitter the entire time they weren't paying him. He wasn't putting in the work. He wasn't putting in the tape study. And, you know, Forte is a different guy than Chris Johnson, but it's anytime an organization, and he's coming off an injury, you know, I just can't take a guy like that in the first round. But,
I agree with you. I think the Bears are completely fucking him, and it's terrible. But when the guy plays, he's an all-star, and he's still going to play his last, you know, it might be okay. So if he's franchise tag, he's going to be playing for, what, another contract last year. Well, Ray Rice last year was the end of his contract. And who else? LeSean McCoy, and they both put out huge numbers.
McCoy got paid, though. Rice also isn't getting paid.
Yeah, right. And we have him at, what, two?
I have him at two, and but I'm a little concerned if it's a situation like where he doesn't get his contract, I'm going to have to drop him in my rankings. Because at the two spot, right now, I mean, it looks amazing. The guy was the number one fantasy running back last year.
Sure, but two didn't look bad for Chris Johnson last year going off the 2010 stats.
Yeah. You know, it just shows you, you know, you can't really predict what's going to happen. You can just take educated guesses, and that's what we're doing here. Those are our top 10 picks. Most people are in 8 or 10-man leagues, but, you know, there's a lot of 12-man leagues out there, so we'll go ahead and extend it to our next two picks. You know, if you're just in a 10-man league or whatever, just consider this, you know, who you should take at the beginning of the second round. But if you're in a 12-man league, we'll go ahead and extend it. So at 11, I have Darren McFadden. I think he could easily be the fantasy MVP this year. ESPN has him ranked at 30, and, you know, for obvious reasons, the guy gets hurt every single year. Well, that's really the only reason, because when this guy plays, I mean, he puts up phenomenal numbers. He can come out and get you 170 yards rushing, 110 yards receiving with, you know, two touchdowns, just monster games all day. He was on pace for just a record-setting year last year before he got hurt. So that's the problem. If you're not, if you're somebody who's risk adverse, you could just take somebody like Tom Brady or you know, another good wide receiver. You know, maybe Larry Fitzgerald or somebody like that. But me, I don't think Darren McFadden's going to be there on the comeback. I think he's going to put up monster numbers. I don't think he's going to get hurt. Can't predict it. I can't really tell you why. I just think that this is going to be his year. I think it's going to be the year of McFadden. But you just don't know, he's such a risk that I can't really take him before this 11 spot where I have him. So that's who I think you should take. I think he's the last, I shouldn't even really call him safe, but I think he's the last safe, like, monster pick. Marshawn Lynch, maybe. He's, you know, we haven't seen enough of him year after year, but he's obviously amazing. But I think that there's the big drop-off comes right around here. So get an elite guy like Darren McFadden if you can. So 11, who do you got, Joaquin?
This is where I put Chris Johnson. Woo! For me, the guy gets one more shot. He's been practicing all year. He's had ample time with the team and the coaches, which he didn't get last year. They improved their O-line kind of. Did they get Hutchinson?
Yeah, they got Hutch. Hutch is a little old, but you know he knows what he's doing.
You know, it's something. They got experience.
At least he could be a leader too.
Yeah, but if Johnson, if he has another season even close to last year, I got to be done with him. I got to take him off the list. It was pretty ugly.
Yeah, last year was horrible. You know, he had flashes of brilliance, and I think, you know, anybody who's going to have a comeback or bounce back year, it's going to be Chris Johnson. Last pick. Didn't want to do it. I didn't want to have three in here, but I did it. Pulled the trigger. Tom Brady.
Wow.
Fantasy football oatmeal. You know, he's there. He's good. He's not exciting for whatever reason. I mean, the guy threw for 5,200 yards and 39 touchdowns. But, you know, he just never sounds good. But then, you know, somebody gives him to you. He's like, yeah, you know, tastes pretty good. A little cinnamon in it or something. It's Tom Brady. He's the fantasy football oatmeal, but he's consistent as they come, not an injury risk. You know he's going to air it out. He's going to air it out over and over again. A ton of weapons. They just got Brandon Lloyd, another weapon. They didn't lose anybody at all. To go ahead and take Tom Brady, not worry about it. If not, take Marshawn Lynch and gamble it up. Who do you got at 12, Joaquin?
Regular Matthew Berry over here. This was actually a hard one for me. I had Marshawn Lynch at 12 for a long time,
wow.
And I bumped him to 13. I mean, you know,
guy
Marshawn
hates
Lynch,
the Seahawks.
Marshawn Lynch scored in 13 straight games last year and a rushing touchdown against the 49ers. It's very possible that the closer we get to the season, Lynch could jump up and snag that 12 spot. Right now, I got Larry Fitzgerald there. Guy puts up huge numbers even without a quarterback. Put up the most yards in the last 3 years, even getting the fewest receptions last year. Most yards for him that he got last year, even getting the fewest amount of the total receptions. Great hand-eye coordination, great ability to catch the long ball. Figure with the whole offseason, they should get their QB situation where they want it. I think the addition of Michael Floyd is going to be great for Fitz. So he finds the single coverage a lot more, which will be a mismatch in almost every case. I think he's got another huge season on the horizon.
Wow. I don't know. I just don't like to take wide receivers that early.
No, I usually don't. I usually don't as well.
This guy always takes Andre Johnson right there. Everybody loves him.
I took Andre Johnson at 13 last year in the second round?
Took him at 8 probably.
No, I took LeSean McCoy at 6.
My problem with Larry Fitzgerald is we just don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Last year, if you look at his numbers with Kevin Cobb, they were pretty atrocious. If you look at him with John Skelton, that's when he had his big games. That's when he got those like 27-point games out of Larry Fitzgerald. So it depends for me who the quarterback's going to be. And I think the coach, you know, he kind of went all in on getting Kevin Cobb. He paid him a bunch of money. He kind of banged his fist on the table and demanded they bring him out. So I think he's going to want to play Kevin Cobb. And if Kevin Cobb's the starter, and maybe Kevin Cobb improved. I don't know. But based on what I saw last year, the guy can't find Larry Fitzgerald. I do think, you know, the addition of Michael Floyd may open things up for him a bit. We'll see. Just too many question marks for this Larry Fitzgerald guy for me to take in the first round.
Huge year.
Could. Hey, possibly. Possibly. But I don't like to gamble too much. If I'm gambling, it's a guy I have to know if he's going to stay healthy. He's going to have big numbers. And Fitzgerald could be healthy and have, like, 4 touchdowns.
I'll remember you said that.
Because that's what he was on pace for with Kevin Cobb. And it was, like, miraculous, like, one miraculous touchdown, like, on 3 guys that he got. He could have easily had 0 with Kevin Cobb, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, those are our top 12 picks. If you guys differ at all, you could email us at doublecoveragepodcast@gmail.com. So that kind of wraps up our first round picks. So let's just continue this discussion about this whole sort of Matthew Berry philosophy. We have a special correspondent, T. Baggins, in the room, in the studio, excuse me, in this professional studio. She's a fantasy football expert, of course. She has been stating that she's a regular Matthew Berryite. She has the 2nd pick in this year's fantasy football draft. She's taking Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback. Could you please explain to anybody or everybody, excuse me, why you would take a quarterback so early in the draft, despite the fact that there's only about 4 or 5 elite running backs?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, gentlemen. And
as Mike Mack so eloquently
stated earlier, I was one of those people stupid enough to take Chris Johnson last year.
So stupid.
Big mistake.
And we all know what a big shit show that turned into. So, you know, I'm going with the safe pick in Aaron Rodgers. He's going to guarantee me 20+++ points a game, and I just got to do it.
You just got to do it. I mean, that's just based on one bad experience. I mean, you could take Aaron Rodgers, and he could get hurt in the 2nd game, or just like Tom Brady did a few years ago, get hurt in the 1st game of the season, and you get no points out of him.
Or even benched in the playoffs, and you get 0.
That's true, but I could also take Arian Foster, like you guys suggest, and he could get hurt within the 1st games, too. That's just a risk you have to take.
Yeah, and there's a risk that a guy's going to suck. But you just got to take your best guess at the position that you should be taking. So if you're at the number 2 spot, assuming Arian Foster's gone, you could take Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy, Maurice Jones-Drew, Adrian Peterson. I mean, these guys have all been just fantasy monsters. And you'd have your choice of whichever one you wanted.
Aaron Rodgers, highest fantasy score in the...
Barely.
Yeah, you know, just gotta go with that safe pick, guys.
The safe pick. There's no such thing as a safe pick in fantasy football.
You might get a safe... That might be a safe first-round pick, but then come the later rounds when you get around 2 running backs and they're all gone, those are going to be 2 unsafe picks.
Yeah,
one safe pick became 2 unsafe picks.
That's the best way to put it I've ever heard in my entire life.
No, I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
I think that's not going to happen. Because basically, like, I mean, like, what? Who's your number 1 running back going to be at that point? So you take, say it's a 10-man league. At number 2, you take Aaron Rodgers. You got to wait all the way until, what is that, 18 or 19 or something? To take your next pick. So assuming you don't take a wide receiver here, you take a running back, you can get Jamal Charles. I mean, he may have a monster year, but it's risk. It's all risk at this point.
Here's my thing, guys.
You won't have a number one, you will not have a number 1 running back if you take a quarterback that early.
I may not be the fantasy guru that Mac was talking me up to be, and last year I was kinda talking around getting some other people's opinions. I heard from a few people, oh, take a strong quarterback. Then I hear from you guys, oh, you got to take a strong running back. Chris Johnson, he's a good spot for that position. Who do I listen to? You guys. And that totally bites me in the ass.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's...
That was insulting to say the least. I
All I know is if some prima donna is sitting out preseason, I'm not gonna take him.
Wow.
Well, that was your fault for taking him. You obviously should have taken Ray Rice, number one fantasy running back, still available. She chose not to. I would have taken Ray Rice had I had the second pick. I didn't. So it's all hypothetical at this point. But basically, if you go ahead and you take Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have horrible running backs, and you're not going to be able to compete. Sure, you'll probably blow people away at the quarterback position and then get beat at every position from then on out. Every position, because you're going to be behind in every position. Everybody who didn't take a quarterback is a position ahead of you. They're filling their roster at all the position spots before you can get to them. You're playing catch-up the entire time. If you're playing catch-up, you're going
to
lose.
We haven't watched preseason yet, and I reserve the right to change my opinion if I see something spectacular happen. But as of now, as things stand, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
There's no right. It's not in the Constitution. Sorry. But we'll talk about this a little bit more. The podcast is getting a little bit long. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up for this week. Next week, we'll probably look at either top 10 quarterbacks or maybe top 10 running backs for this year's upcoming draft. It all depends. All depends on how we're feeling. But thank you guys so much for listening, and be sure to join us next time. Please also, if you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe. Please be sure to rate us and leave a comment. You know, that helps get the word out. That helps us in the rankings. We really appreciate it, guys. If you have any questions or comments, and we may read them on the air, so if you don't want us to use your real name, go ahead and use a pseudonym, a fake name. That's what that means for all you dummies. Go ahead and email those questions or comments to us at doublecoveragepodcast@gmail.com. That's doublecoveragepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, guys. Follow us all year. You guys will win a couple championships, even if you're only in one league. You win a couple championships. You listen to us. Have a great day. See you next time. Bye.